listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.
Hello and welcome to Circle of White Light Radio with myself, Alan James. Good evening. It's Sunday, the 16th of February, 2020. Hello to everyone, and I hope you're having fun with that storm Dennis that's hitting Ireland and the UK at the moment. Loads of rain, loads of flooding, not very nice. I don't think we had it too bad over here in Ireland, but in the UK they seem to have really bad flooding over there, so it looks really bad over there. But there you go, it's just one of them things, I suppose. Right, okay, on the show tonight, as advertised, we have Thomas Williams from THI. We have Aleem Torrance from THI Scotland. And later on, we're hopefully going to have Kim jump on board with us and have a chat with us there about what's going on. And we're just going to touch base about THI and what's been happening with the groups and the business plans and stuff like that. So we're going to get into the subject matter. It's going to be more of a round table than anything else. But before we crack on and I fill you in on a few bits and pieces, I'll just let you know what the communication channels are.
The communication channels are email, contact us at circleofwhitelight.com, by phone 046-927-1212, or sign up to our newsletter via our website at circleofwhitelight.com.
Okay, as usual, the website is circleofwhitelight.com. We have Patreon as well. That's patreon.com/circleofwhitelight, C-O-W-L-O-R. And obviously there's PayPal on the website as well. If you do want to donate to the People's Club, you can do that through the PayPal on the Circle of White Light website at the moment. But down the road, we'll be separating that out. And a big thank you to everybody who donates to Circle of White Light and the People's Club. It is making a difference. And I'll be touching base on that in a few minutes. But I'd just like to say, right, on Friday we had Valentine's Day. And, well, happy Valentine's Day to everybody there. Maybe just some kind of history with Valentine's Day that we can touch base with Thomas on, because maybe there's something more sinister to it. I know it's very commercialised. And I was down, I do my normal shop on a Friday, and I was down in the local Aldi store, and I couldn't believe how busy it was, because it's not normally that busy, because I'm normally there before the doors open. And there's a load of people there, mostly men, funny enough. And as soon as the doors opened, all the men ran in. And then there was a big queue of men looking at all the flowers on for sale. And I thought, I see. That's why they're all down here. They've all probably woke up this morning and thought, oh, shit, I forgot Valentine's Day. And they flew down to Aldi to get the flowers. Or to be in the doghouse. So yeah, there's a whole queue of men looking at all the flowers in Aldi. So that's why it was busy. So happy Valentine's Day to everybody on Friday, just gone. And as I say, the old storm that we had, Storm Dennis and Storm Ciara, maybe they're using the old HAARP technology, you never know, to do this. It's one of the worst storms apparently so far. But I think we've got off lightly in Ireland, to be honest with you. Right, okay, I don't have many stories there, but there is one thing I just want to mention, and I've seen that the BBC over in the UK are planning, number 10, Downing Street, are actually planning to scrap the licence fee in the UK, and that they're saying that BBC should go to a subscription service, which is fantastic. And to be honest with you, that's what RTE should do over here. I don't really particular. I don't watch RTE at all. Haven't done for the last 10 years. I've no interest in the TV show or the TV station at all. I don't watch it. And that should actually do the same thing. Sell advertising, go subscription, whatever you want to do. But license fees, no, you shouldn't be charging them. There's no way you should be doing that. If you think your programs are good enough, well then go subscription or do advertising. That's what I'd say. Okay, so just my week. I'll be joining THI Australia the THI Group Australia in the morning. I'm going to hook up with the group down there, and I'm going to have a chat with the members and just touch base on a few things. So I look forward to that. And obviously, I mentioned Storm Ciara and Storm Dennis that we have now. And the volunteers for the charity Feed the Homeless, you probably remember that before Christmas, we actually did a food run for Feed the Homeless through the People's Club. And they're actually out in this weather. I couldn't believe it. I was seeing a video when Ciara was here, and the volunteers were out on Ciara feeding the homeless. And I thought, you know, I wouldn't even send my dog out in that weather, and if I had one. Those people out there, fair play to the volunteers for doing that. It's unbelievable. So I was speaking to Tom, one of the organisers of the charity, and he was looking to get some high-vis jackets for all the volunteers, so they would be recognised that night and all that kind of stuff. And I said that I'm sure the People's Club, we can sort out covering the cost of the high-vis jackets. So when Tom put in the request to the printers, and when he went to collect them, the printer actually turned around and said, right, we're going to do 25 high-vis jackets for you, but we're not going to charge you because it's for a good cause. So that was fantastic. So that was brilliant for Tom and the team. Now, so I said to Tom, well, look, you know, we said that we'd help you out in some way. What do you need? And one of the things the team need is a marquee. Just a small marquee where the team are protected from the elements and the food is protected, and when people come in to get the food, that they're not getting drenched with the water. So Tom has gone off to look at the cost of a marquee. Nothing expensive, you know, something that's it's small enough that will do the job, and they'll be happy with. So Tom's going to get back to me and let me know about that. But again, a big thank you to everybody who donates to the People's Club, because this is where the money is going. It's going to help groups out there, or individuals, or different societies that need a couple of quid to help them. And obviously, if it's going towards humanity-based projects, then all the better. And that's what we're looking for as well with the People's Club. And it can't be done without people donating €1. It's that simple. You donate your euro, this is where it's going. So it's very simple. So that's the news there. I just wanted to say that to let people know the update in that. So I'll keep everybody posted. If you sign up, if you go to the Circle of White Light website and subscribe to the website, put your email in there, you'll be kept up to date of what's going on. I don't actually have a Facebook page. I have a personal Facebook page, and I had about 550 contacts, and I actually cleared it down to 300. Because, you know, there are some people on Facebook that they do loads of postings, and you want everybody to click on their postings, but they'll never click on yours. And you think, well, you know, at the end of the day, the whole idea is to share information and interact with one another. And I've no interest in people just, you know, sitting there as voyeurs as well and looking at information but not interacting and not getting involved. So I deleted about 250 people, and there's probably a few more people that I need to remove. So I'll be looking at that later on. Okay, right. Okay, let's see where we are. Good evening, chaps. How are you two?
Hi, Al.
Okay.
Hi, Alan. How you doing?
All right. I take it the Skype went down again, did it?
Yeah, we couldn't hear you for the last 3 or 4 minutes, something like that.
Okay. There's a lot of people that would actually appreciate that. but okay. Listen. Listen, thanks a lot for coming on, both of you, Thomas and Liam. I'll just let people know, for people who aren't familiar, people know Thomas because Thomas has been on the show, THI. Liam is a newbie on the show. Liam is in THI Scotland, but Liam is part of the THI business group as well. And we get together now and again. Well, generally it's once a week, but sometimes it does a 2 or 3 week gap, depending on what's going on. And the whole idea of the THI business group is that we're putting together the logistics of what way THI should be set up on a poor country basis. Good evening, chaps, and thanks for coming on. As I say, I've no questions rehearsed for tonight. So I don't know where you want to start, Thomas.
Well, you mentioned the business team which was set up last August, and unfortunately my time has passed me by. And so thanks to you, Liam, and Mark, and also Lawrence for keeping it going. I was supposed to do the TPC introduction recording yesterday morning, but things took precedence again. And so that will be done this week, and that will be the first phase. And the second phase, which is largely being done by Liam, also Alan and Mark and Lawrence have chimed in. The second phase will be laying out the TPC cooperative model, which is not just for business. It's a social program. It's a psychological program, and also a potential future government program. You know, so it has many aspects to it, and the phases of what we are trying to achieve, long-term goals with the People's Club. You know, the People's Club is for and by the people, and it's up to the people who are shareholders, essentially, in that to mix in, and let's get the ball rolling. Yes, we would all like the funding to a point, but there's so many things that need to be done prior to that, which is what Liam and others have been doing, and it's good stuff.
Yeah, the one thing, I mean, we were having a chat before we went live, and the one thing that seems to be maybe common between the groups is it's not really actually the funding that's the issue. The issue is trying to get people to step up to be leaders and to run with it, and to be involved and have projects and stuff like that, and to be involved in the groups, actively be involved in the groups, and be, and what I mean by that is, you know, attend the Zoom calls, chat amongst each other, and swap information, educate each other, you know, share knowledge and get to know each other, because down the line, we probably will be working with each other down the line. So it's good to get to know each other, who's involved in THI. And I think that's it's the people side for me, from what I can see from where I'm sitting, that it's going to be the hardest thing, getting people on board and getting them involved. Really, that's for me. That's going to be the challenge.
Yes, I get that. You know, we've been programmed to wait for others to do things. You know, well, Kim's done a lot. I've done my bit, and will continue in that vein. But, you know, this is, we can't do everything for 7.5 billion people, or 3.5 billion people, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe a few others.
Okay.
We just can't. You know, if you want a better world, you have to be a participant. You know, we came up with the idea of the $1, €1, or £1. You know, that's you becoming a shareholder in humanity, not a shareholder in a CEO of a company that's harvesting, but a holder of sharing.
Yeah. Yeah,
and by humanity,
and it's working. I've proved the point. You know, we have People's Club Ireland has donated over €1,000 now since December to worthwhile groups and causes. And I know that's only a small amount of money, but you know, I always say to people that, you know, an orchard of 1,000 trees, the first tree has to be planted, and gradually, as people come on board and see the benefit of it, they'll go, well, I want to be part of this. I want to get involved in this. And all they have to do is just donate €1. That's it. And then it just escalates from there. I post everything up on Facebook and I send it out on email so people know exactly what's going on and who's being funded. And and hopefully that will just gradually grow and grow over time. And we did it without politicians, without councillors, without, it's people power.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, politicians are, this will go in probably phase two of the stuff that's going to go on the People's Club website. Politicians are way down the line. We have to build our brand. You know, this is why Liam's on, because Liam has taken the cooperative model on board and is actually running it within his own companies. And so I really want Liam to come across and let us know how that has gone, or how it has gone.
Definitely. Well, Liam, good evening. Thanks for coming on. As Thomas said, Liam is a businessman. He already has businesses in Scotland. He's changing the, or has changed his business model to the cooperative model, and is having great success with it. So we know it works because Liam is doing it. So Liam, thanks for coming on and tell us all about it.
Yeah, that, in my opinion, the cooperative way is the only way to go forward. I've been in business for 30 years now. I've seen, you know, the corp, or as Thomas calls it, corp pirate way is just not the way to go. It's a struggle. It's a constant battle. You will never, ever get anywhere with it until you engage the people. So for a number of years, we have been implementing all sorts of different principles of the cooperative model. And I know a lot of the viewers haven't seen the documents yet, but they will see them in the summary and have an equal say in it. But from our from a business point of view, it just works. It just you engage the people, you look after the people, and the business just works and it grows, and there's less problems. You don't lose staff. They're committed to the company, and it's all about looking after the people. The problem is when profits before people, it doesn't work, you know.
Well, the one thing that you said, Liam, that you said to me when we were talking about this, is that you've had staff come up to you and they've been offered other jobs and they've told you and said, well, I'm not going because I like it here, the way things are run. I mean, that really says a lot in itself.
Oh, definitely. We have had staff been offered thousands of pounds more per year to go elsewhere and work. And that's when you really know it's not down to the money, you know, it's down to looking after them, actually caring about them, their family, the events going on, support them through. Everyone gets through difficult times. So when these times happen, support them. And the loyalty is unbelievable. You just cannot buy that, you know, it has to be earned. And that's certainly our findings with it. So we've been lucky to work with a couple of amazing people who have been working cooperative business models for 20 odd years with some of the biggest companies that have been implementing this sort of thing, and the knowledge transfer there has been amazing. So that's helped us with inverting the pyramid, you know, promoting from the bottom up, all that sort of good stuff. But it really revolves around help the people, you know, help the people the rest and make a good product, care about the end product or the end service, and the rest really takes care of itself, you know.
And the other thing you said as well is that because you have a cooperative model, the actual employees kind of run the business and you just take a back seat.
Yeah, absolutely. So I run five companies at the moment, and I'm needed about an hour to 2 hours a week for all of them, inclusive, you know. And okay, you'll get the title of CEO, but, you know, if you run those businesses properly, let the people run them for you, you're not needed. You're just there to serve them when they run into something major or they need a bit of a dig out, if something unusual happens, and we get around the table and thrash out some ideas and listen to everybody. Because at the end of the day, they're making better decisions than I've ever made in all the years when you try and control it the old traditional way, you know.
Yeah. Thomas?
One of the things I'd like you to touch on is, THI is and the People's Club is rather transparent, particularly to do with figures. And it's something that you've done in your companies. And can you say how the staff have reacted to that?
Yeah, this is something just a number of years ago. The first thing I did was, you know, people see you as the business owner or the CEO, and they just automatically assume that you're paying yourself huge amounts of money. So I started printing and publishing my P60 or tax returns and showing that I was actually taking less than even the apprentices. Okay, I took a little bit out of each different company to make up my salary. So we really, wherever possible, have total transparency. We just print up as much as we can. There's, the less that's hidden, the less questions there is, you know. So always transparency is everything. Throughout the corporate business model, transparency for anything we're going to do when it comes to funding projects, it has to be 100% transparency. It's the most important thing.
And also, when you're dealing with suppliers or you're dealing with customers, you're saying that you're going to be transparent with your markup on prices and stuff like that. And you've found that that has been a big benefit to the business as well.
Yeah, absolutely. When it comes to dealing with suppliers, I mean, the traditional way is the big companies have the buying power and they knock the little companies down for price all the time. And, you know, that's not the way to go. The way we work is we make sure our suppliers are getting paid a fair price. You know, and sometimes we ask them to put the prices up because they're not asking for enough. So that's not sustainable. So, you know, whenever possible, make it fair. I have a number in my head. It's always cost and 15% profit, but for everyone to make, and that to me, that's enough. But other people have other ideas of that.
Excellent, brilliant. Well, no, it's you know, it's we've talked a lot about the business model and the cooperative side, and it's just a breath of fresh air of hearing how people are getting on with the business. Now, you've also dealt with the actual work week and the work hours. Somebody's flipping paper there. Is that? The microphone's so sensitive. I can hear the flipping of the paper. The work hours and the work times. What way have you dealt with that?
So what we have done is we cut down the working week to a 4-day week. And that's actually one of the reasons why so many people wouldn't leave us either, because they love this 4-day week. It's given them, and we don't want them to work the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We want that time to be family time or time for themselves, time for the local community, whatever that is the one to do with it, instead of working 40, 50, 60 hours a week to try and earn a salary. So whenever possible, we're trying to pay more for less hours, which is still difficult in the world we're in, you know, but we do that as much as we possibly can. We're probably one of the highest paying engineering, most of the companies I have is engineering companies, one of the highest payers, but the 4-day week goes down really well, because it's giving people a bit of a life back, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the 4-day week, I mean, that's brilliant. And is your start time 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock?
So we have options in that for the staff. Most of them like to come in at 7 and get away earlier at night. If you want to come in later, you can go away later. We're really flexible with that. Because just depending, maybe they've got to take the kids to school or whatever it might be, or drop the wife off or drop the husband off, whatever. So we're really flexible, whenever possible, for starting times. And people get into their own routines, so we know we can just work around them. And the more flexible you are with these things, the less time people will take off, and the sickness levels goes down drastically. It's not just you know, the lateness and things like that. That all disappears when you're flexible.
Yeah, I know that you said also that because you're flexible and they have that kind of luxury, you had staff coming up to you going, "Listen, I need to come in on Friday to do X, Y, and Z," and you go, "No, it's a 4-day week. Come in on Monday." I mean, that's brilliant to have staff, the trusting of the, you know, trust staff to do their role, their own management of their time, and they have that respect for the business. I mean, I'm sure people listening to this show who are doing the 9-to-5 grind are listening and going, "Hang on, 4-day week, and I can change my hour times to suit myself as long as I cover this the correct time." I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, that, you know, because not everybody. There's time, especially when you have kids or kids who are sick and stuff like that, that you need to have a bit of flexibility in the time. And there's not a lot of companies out there that will allow you to do that.
Yeah, this is, sorry, Thomas, this is another thing that we do here. If you're, a lot of companies won't pay you if you've got to stay home because the kids are sick or the wife's sick or the husband's sick, whatever it might be, or you've just helped your next-door neighbour in a disaster. We always cover that, you know, and people tend not to abuse that when you're being so flexible with them. So we have a policy here where you get paid in full. for something particular going on. We have someone that's been off for 4 months at the moment. He's perfectly healthy, but his wife isn't well and is having to take care of her, you know. And I think that's the kind of things that we need to implement whenever possible. And it is difficult because of cost, but, you know, you can always do something more.
Yeah, no, that, I mean, that just sounds brilliant. And it's a fresh way to look at business. As Thomas said on his THI show, that corporate companies only have a 44% success rate, where cooperatives have an 88%. So it's double. And to implement that kind of system would be pretty good. Thomas, do you want to jump in there?
Yeah, you know, this is what we are planning to do with the People's Club across the world, not just America, globally. We have to get back to having a life. Life is not all about work and materialistic things that people work extra hours to keep up with the Joneses. That's not living, that's existing. And we have to change it. And only we can change that. You know, the governments are not going to come up with executive orders that everyone works 4 days a week and looks after the staff. They're just not going to do it. So we have to do it. And so what it's doing, it's giving people their life back, where maybe it will cause less divorces or less partnership splits, because life is just about work to have enough to get by or have the five basics. You know, well, that's not living, that's existing. And so by doing the cooperative model and you're stripping out the excess of the CEOs and the middle management and lower management and upper management and all that bollocks, you strip that all out, you can then afford to pay the actual staff who are doing the life force energy work to create the product or the business structure. And so you can then reduce, not only reduce their hours, but increase their pay.
Yeah.
You know, and what it does, it's treating people like adults, not controlling them like children, which is the corporate model. We're being controlled like children.
Yeah.
And this is treating people like adults. That's why it works.
Well, if we go back to the 60s where you had the traditional, the husband went out to work and the wife could be at home with the kids, and you could afford a house, you could afford a car, you could afford a holiday, and that's the way it was, that's the way the economy was, that's the way it worked, and it worked well. And then obviously, over time, now you have couples that can't have kids because they can't afford to have kids, both of them are working and they're still struggling to try and pay the mortgage. So over that time, because money always devalues, it never goes back up. And so 20 quid today was worth a lot more 40 years ago than it was, you know, and that's just the way the financial system works. So we have to change the whole system. And if we had that, where couples could actually, like we talked about, affordable housing is one of the things that needs to be addressed. And I think what we need to do is let's just do an update on THI itself and the groups worldwide and what's going on, because, you know, a lot the people who tune in on a regular basis to your show and hopefully to mine, you know that change, and we all know fundamentally that change has to take place, because we can't keep doing what we're doing. And if we keep letting the politicians go in and do the same thing, it'll just carry on and carry on. Change has to take place and has to come from the people. So give us an update on, Liam can talk about THI business, but tell us about the groups and what's been happening, because there's going to be a lot of THI groups tuning into this show tonight, and they'll just want an update on what's happening. How many groups are there, if you know, and what's happening on that side?
Because of my time limits, I don't really get involved in the THI state groups anymore, or the sheet. So what I do know is probably two-thirds of the American states have groups, and countries dotted all over the world, Thailand, and there's another one set up recently that was a bit of an obscure country, a couple in Africa. South Africa and a couple of others have shown interest, and even Syria, you know. So it is going global. We have people in South America, we have people in Central America, we have people on the islands, be it Hawaii or Puerto Rico. So it's spreading fairly quickly, which is what they don't like. It's the worst thing that can ever happen to the old system is people coming together.
Yeah, it's always been the divide and conquer, isn't it?
That's their biggest fear, because the people come together. It matters not what they do. And this is why, you know, THI focuses heavily on the psychological side. You fix you. That then changes the system, because it's one less for them to feed off.
Yeah.
And that's how it works.
And that's the important thing, because the funding is no good if it comes out and then we repeat the corporate system or the system that's there. That's just defeating
In essence, it's been a sore send, shall we say, that it hasn't come out, because it clearly we weren't ready, even in THI. Clearly we're not ready, and some people will argue against that. Just give us the money and we'll do something with it, but it has to have a purpose behind it. Otherwise, you know, at the moment, outside of our groups, along with yours, and to a certain degree, Randy's, you're seeing chaos everywhere. Mm. How can you give people what is, in essence, would be deemed free money and expect them to go and look after it when they're operating in chaos? They're just not. And this is why we set up the THI state groups, and we did the teachings and the shows of how to be, how to act, think and act different. You can't carry on the same way. Mm. Something has to change for change to take place. Mm. So that's why we've done this with the THI groups in the states and the countries, is those people know what is required for that country. You know, not everyone's culture is the same. What you need in, for argument's sake, THI Oregon, they're going to need something different in THI South Africa or THI Angola. Mm. And so it's essentially those people become the teachers, and it's up to them to set up their projects and get their group running when the funding comes out, and then they become the teachers for the outside world. This is one giant teaching program. That's the essence of it. It's not about the money. It's a teaching program of how to be and act towards a better world.
Yeah.
That's all.
No, definitely. We have to change the way we're thinking, and we have to step up and be leaders and show the way. And this is the whole idea of THI. One of the obscure groups you might have seen, Thomas, is Faroe Islands. There's actually a THI.
I'm just going to mention that.
Yeah, THI Faroe Islands is actually set up as a group.
Yeah, you know, and it's great, you know. And this is what we want. It's not about America, and, you know, this is about us all. You know, it's no use America fixing itself if the rest of the world is still playing the old game. Hmm. The old game's not worked for any of us. I don't care who you are or which country you're in. It hasn't worked for any of us, you know, relying on people expecting governments to fix things. Governments are not there to fix things for you. They're there to follow orders of the higher order. And the sooner people realise that, the better. Mm. You know, replacing one party with another when, you know, it's two heads with the same mask.
Yeah. Yeah, no, well, it has to change. We have to change. One of the things, the questions that people will have and have had in the groups, because I speak to a number of the THI groups in Europe, and they get down to the logistics of things, and they want to know kind of dotting the I's and crossing the T's on certain things. And I just want to bring Liam back in there. Liam, because obviously me and you are both involved in the THI business group, do you want to just give a mention to, now I nicknamed it the THI Bible, but we're going. But we don't want to use the word Bible for obvious reasons. The connotations towards religion. We'll call it something else. But we'll. For now, we've nicknamed it that just for simplicity. But Liam, so do you want to tell us about your? I mean, you're doing brilliant work on the Bible. You really have put a lot of work into it, and I'm going to give you credit for that. It has to be said. So, do you want to just give us an overview of what the Bible's all about? And because this will probably, because all the questions that the THI groups will have, hopefully the Bible will have all the answers for you, which is being put together at the moment. Liam.
Yeah, well, probably I'll give a quick rundown of what's been happening in Scotland, because obviously I'm on, so maybe not know what other THI groups are doing. So it's the, you know, it's not myself that's doing this, it's the whole team that's doing it. We have some pretty amazing people here in Scotland that have been working for decades, really, long before THI came along. But now we've all came together under the THI umbrella, and it's certainly made a huge difference, bringing all these different people and organisations together are already doing amazing things, but now so much more is happening. So obviously we've been involved in the cooperative business planning, and there's so much to that, and yes, personal experience. But a lot of the members we have here in Scotland come from a corporate background, from all different walks of life, and have brought some amazing things to the group. So the Bible you're talking about, totally agree. We need something to follow. You know, I think so many people are waiting on funding, and we certainly maybe fell into that trap at one time for some of the projects. We don't do that anymore. For a long time, we just focus on planning, visualising the outcome, getting the plans together, what's the different projects, different aspects of all these different things. You know, it's so much can be done without money. But I was just having a conversation recently. You know, between everyone in the group, thousands of people have already been affected in a good way. And I would say 90%+ of that was done without money. And I think that's something we really need to remember. Plan ahead and really, you know, I wonder how many people actually would know what to do if funding actually just landed us. You know, is there any plans? How are you going to manage it? How's it going to be looked after? It's precious. It needs to be very much looked after. So in the group, we have created a number of different parts of what you're calling the Bible, and we'll start sharing that with everyone. One of the things we've been doing recently is documents called Life Force Energy Restoration Plan, or rather called it money. And that goes into how to manage funds from start to finish, how you deal with different levels for government, how you deal with regional, right down to cities, towns, villages, what the process would look like for appraisals at all different levels and the kind of values that could be appraised, the type of projects, the transparency in the projects. There's so much to that. And it's another document that really needs to be put out. It's a starting point to be put out for everyone's participation. We just thought we'd create it so we can get the thing moving, get people thinking, because we needed to think about it. We weren't clear ourselves. As much as we're already doing a number of different projects in a number of different ways with existing resources, that includes all sorts of social projects, synthropic farming, clean energy technology. That's a big thing for 2019 for us. We're developing new technology, which every country can have. It'll be free to copy and for the benefit of all. There's another couple of members run an organisation called Love Learning. That's a love group. They're doing all sorts of amazing things, you know, for all different aspects of social care, disadvantaged kids, families. They've been working this for a long time. It's a non-for-profit. And they've just taken over two fairly big, one thing was called Palace Rings Country Park, they've just taken that over, which is huge. And they managed to do that with an asset transfer because they're a charity. You know, not not because they had money. Mm. It was done because they were determined to make it happen. Then the next thing they took over just recently was Gorky Farm in Edinburgh, which is a very well-known thing here, right in the centre of Edinburgh. And it was, you know, went into administration. They managed to get a hold of that and reopen that. There's going to be animal therapy, just open it back up to public because it's been a useful thing as well. They work with kids' homes, early years programmes. Oh, the list goes on for the Love Group. There's, as I say, this restoration plan we're working on, I think is very important for to really get everyone engaged and get everyone thinking. As Thomas said a little while ago, you know, country to country, state to state, the cultures are different, you know, so we really need to gather together everyone's input on these things and then create, as you call it, Alan, the Bible, maybe we've got a better name for it, but a system that's there, training videos, just the whole layer, the whole organisation, how it could look start to finish. I just keep adding to it as we're learning, as we're making mistakes, as we're getting best practice, add to it and continue to let that grow without complicating it.
Yeah,
maybe training videos, all that kind of thing. Lots can be done in a very centralised way with, you know, that everybody can tap into anything anywhere in the world and it's totally transparent, you know.
Now, one of the things that we did talk about, and we do understand that there are THI groups and there's people in the groups who don't have a business background. We know they have an idea, but maybe they don't have a business background and they're not sure what to do or how to do it. And one of the things that the THI business group will be doing is to set up a support structure for these people who can either contact us or ring us and ask us about what needs to be done. If we can actually fly over and help out, maybe that's going to be on the cards. But the whole idea of, in the corporate world, we call it follow the sun. And whether we do this or not is another thing. But basically the idea is that regardless of what country you're in, if you want to get support or help, we'll try and have it available for you that will hopefully answer the question. So the more standards that we have, the easier it's going to be to support that.
That's partially my fault because, I should have tried to make time, but so many things have happened in the last 6 months. It's like a whirlwind. I will get this introduction done. It tells you what TBC is all about. And then we can add some of these documents for background use whilst I work on phase two, which is explaining the corporates, the ending of the corporate structure and the creating of the cooperative, of how we're going to run businesses that are funded by the People's Club or create new businesses or take over existing businesses that have failed and run it in a cooperative way. So that's phase two. And then phase three will be more what projects are we going to get involved in and how we're going to go forward. By that stage, once phase one and two is laid out, I'm looking for other people to step in and then create projects and ideas and what we'd like to do, what is our vision, expand on our vision. Essentially, phase one and phase two. Phase one is, what is the People's Club? What are our goals? What are we going to change in the world? How are we going to make things better for everyone in business, family life, social life, and in general? And change the parameters. Then phase two is laying out the funding structure towards businesses that are going to operate in a cooperative way. They must operate in a cooperative way. We're not repeating something that failed time and time again. The only corporate businesses that survive did so by stealing out of the trust. Every single one of them. The 44% is actually zero, because most of them is their corporate conglomerates that only got by because they were harvesting off everything else. Well, that's stopped now, and that's why they're all the big boys are all collapsing. Tiffany's, etc., etc., Macy's, JCPenney, they're all going. Walmart even, they're downsizing. You know, they're all gone bust.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a lot of the big corporate companies, and as you said, they're buying each other out. And there was a DVD out a few years ago called The Corporation. If you can get your hands on it, have a look at that. And it's all about, they said, the economist on it said, down the line, if things continue the way they are, there'll be five companies in the world that will control everything.
Yeah, it's like the media. This is the decentralization I was warning about with the clowns in panic show. That's what they're trying to do. That's why they're trying to push the crypto. Why? What does that tell you? Well, it tells you what THI and what Kim has said all along. They no longer have control of the currencies anymore, any of them.
Mm.
So now they're going to create fresh air tokens. And that's bad enough. You know, the sheer concept behind that is that you give your life force energy in terms of dollars or pounds or euros or whatever other currency you're going to use. And you get tokens off some Chinese elder's computer that you don't have access to, as we found out.
Mm. That was one of the questions, actually, that came in from one of the listeners. Moon Girl wants to know, is he flexible with accepting cryptocurrency?
No, none whatsoever. If you think the control system we've had is bad, this would go on steroids. Go and watch the series continue of going down the technological fresh air tokens realm. It makes fascism look like a picnic in the park. And this is what I'm warning of. This is what they want. They want all the markets to crash. Why? Because they've stored up what little funds there is left, and they'll buy up all the stock, and then they control all the companies.
Mm.
And they know eventually the trust funds are going to come out. Well, if they own all the companies, where's all the trust funds going to?
Mm. Yeah.
And this is what the Bitcoin and the decentralization, and they're telling you they're shutting down the central banks. Of course they're shutting down the central banks because they don't control them anymore.
Yeah.
So they're going to create another fake bank on some Chinese elder's computer. Really?
Yeah.
No, I'm not flexible with it at all. It's disastrous.
Yeah.
Absolutely disastrous.
So stay away from crypto, folks. If you don't have it in your hand, you don't have it. Right, question from Peter that has come in. Peter, hi, Peter, in Australia. In the first week of Trump being president, he said, we might bring forth some exciting new technology. Any idea what he was talking about? I have not heard him speak about it again since.
It could be a range of things. We've got unlimited technology. Because technology is not new. It's ancient, all of it. Just gets introduced here, then they can weaponize it. All technology is being weaponized. You know, whether it's your kitchen gadgets, they've all got chips in that can relay data back. Whether it's these Fitbits or these medical devices. all those details are going to your insurance company, and that's why your premiums are going up. You know, we have to be a bit more savvy.
Mm. Plus the cartels as well.
And so every piece of technology has been weaponized against us. So we have to be careful of what technology we're asking for.
Mm.
You know, some of the health machines are good. But if you work on yourself, you don't need a machine.
Mm.
It's like people have got used now to using a calculator. Well, they had one in the head.
Yeah.
You know, it's just replacing. And I mentioned on the last show about we don't interact with food anymore, which is putting your life force energy into it. And it has an effect on the food. Now everything's prepackaged.
But that's the idea, is to take our energy away. They want people to be couch potatoes watching the soaps and not actually doing anything. And this is the problem. When I said earlier in the show, about it's not about the money, it's trying to get the people to step up and be leaders. That's the hardest part, because I see it on a regular basis, on a daily basis. I see it because I'm involved in one or two other things as well. And it's always the same people who are stepping up, getting involved and taking the energy and helping out while everybody else sits back and watches everybody else do it. And I have called that the Little Red Hen principle because of the story of the Little Red Hen where she goes around and asks the farmyard animals, can you help me to, you know, plant the seed and pick the seed and sort out the flour and everything else to make the bread. And they go, I'm not bothered. I'm too busy, you know, I'm watching TV, whatever. And then she goes ahead and makes the bread and comes out and says, does anybody want a piece? And of course, they all run up and go, yeah, we'll have a piece. And she goes, no, I'm having it to myself. And that is what I see on a regular basis in society. People don't want to get involved. But as soon as all the work is done, oh, yeah, well, here you go. Or else the other thing that happens is that you ask people to get together because you want to make a decision on something and they don't turn up. So the decision is made. And then the person who he didn't turn up at the meeting says, oh, yeah, I'm not happy about that. And you turn around and go, well, weren't you at the meeting if you weren't happy with it? It just amazes me how people don't want to get involved, but yet they want to have a say, or do you want to be involved when all the work is done?
Yeah, well, this is a problem with society. We're selfish in general. Everything is service to self, and I'm all right, Jack. And this is why the People's Club is going to create a new way where it's service to others. You know, where every life matters. You know, because some Iraqi family dies over in Iraq, it doesn't really matter. But if an American soldier dies or an Israeli soldier dies, you know, let's bring out the bunting and the flags and everything. Mm. No, every life matters. And so you have to care for everyone. And yes, there's bad people in every country and every culture and the religions, etc. But by ignoring them and not caring for other people, you're allowing that to flourish. So you are responsible, not the governments. The people are responsible. And that's where THI is different, because I'll point fingers at us as well. Mm. It's not all the cabal. It's we don't care enough. That's the issue. Mm. We haven't cared enough. And this is what we're trying to generate within the People's Club and THI, is everyone comes together, no matter where you are in the world, as a community, and looks after each other.
Yeah.
You know, not spouting mainstream media rhetoric that the Muslims are this and the Muslims are that, or that this group's this and this group's that.
And
we don't need it.
The People's Club is a fantastic example of that. It's such a very easy and simple idea, but it just means, you know, if you have 10,000 people donating €1 a month, how many groups could be helped? And that's people power helping the people. And you'd spend more than that on a Starbucks coffee or a parking ticket or, you know, something simple. But yeah,
the lottery.
Yeah, lottery. Yeah, that's another tax.
You know, why spend $1, $2, $5, or $10 a week on something that you're not going to win? Mm. Only it's repeating the old system. Only the few win, and the corporate structure of the lottery is collecting all that money, making vast amounts of interest on it, and it's going into hedge funds and all this malarkey. It's just keeping their system going.
Yeah.
And yet, hardly anyone knows who's won anything that would be useful, you know, $10,000 or something, or upwards. Mm. No, does anyone know anyone that's won that amount? No, hardly anyone wins, and that's repeating the cabal system. Well, this $1 TPC lottery, if you want to call it that, everyone wins. Because every dollar is going back to the people. Mm. You are the holder of the shares in humanity. That's what it is. Mm. That's why it will have, and even Kim agrees with this, this is why it will have a bigger impact if we can get 200 million Americans putting $1 a week in, or $1 a month. you're talking 300 or 400 million a month dollars. What can, how many lives can we improve with 300 to 400 million a month?
When you're looking at them figures, when you're looking at them numbers, it's phenomenal when you think about it. That, you know, there's 300 million people in America. If 100 million people donated $1, I mean, you could change society overnight. Really, you know, you could do so much.
And this is the difference. We can change society overnight, Alan. We've waited for governments all our lifetime. They've done nothing. They're not allowed to do anything. You know, that's the difference. That's why this is different. It's about us, what we do. What they do doesn't matter. If we all improve our lives and we're all looking after each other, who cares about what government do? In fact, most of the government would welcome our input. They're tired of carrying the can because of people's lack of personal responsibility.
And people get the government they vote for. You know, at the end of the day, we had the elections over here, as they say, and there's three parties. Now, we know they're all controlled, but two parties have been in power for over 100 years. I mean, if that doesn't tell the people something over here in Ireland, that it's controlled. You know, the whole system is controlled anyway. It doesn't matter who gets in, but it has to go back to people power. People need to make the choice and go, I want to make a difference. I want to make a change. And get involved with the People's Club. Or it doesn't even have to be the People's Club. Even if you get involved in a local group who's probably doing the same thing. You know, great. Yeah. Whatever way it works, just get involved and just make a difference. Because it's ripples in the pond.
Yeah. Well, you know, unfortunately the Irish people have voted for the Black Sun group. But there you go.
Yeah. Well, and we will. We're going to be doing a show with Thomas, a special Irish show in March, where Thomas is going to go through the Irish history and tell you exactly what the truth is rather than what we're being told by the history books. And we're going to aim for a date in March for that. So if you are if you're interested in Irish history or the real Irish history, then obviously tune in for that show. I'll keep an eye out on the schedule on the website there. Just going off to Liam. Liam, how are you getting on with THI Scotland? How are things going on over there with your group?
Things are going great. I mean, we have a weekly call. We have a monthly meet-up as well. Small enough here we can all get together. But in between that, there's huge amounts going because, you know, there's all these different projects happening, things that's been going on for decades in some cases. But the think groups that we've got here, you know, things are really, really moving. One of the things I was going to say, you're talking about governments. One thing's happened, the Scottish government set up a team to help with cooperative business models, which is quite unusual. They see the value in it because obviously they're more successful. So that's been quite encouraging. That's something, something more happened, at least at a government level. Okay, they've not got the model the way we'd like it to be, but at least there's a step in the right direction, you know. But the group here in Scotland are achieving amazing things in a lot of different ways. There are a lot of new concepts coming out. We've got another one that one of our members has been working on, AVL, it's Time for Time, which is what a concept we're trying to tie into the cooperative business model, the groups when it comes to funding projects, but to try and tie all that in together. So if we're creating more free time in the workplace, you know, maybe get people involved in this sort of thing where basically it'll be done in a kind of local area where you put in what you can do. You might be a joiner, an electrician, or you might be able to walk somebody's dog or drive or whatever. And you basically give time for time, no money changes hands. The concept behind that is really to get people back to community spirit and helping one another, you know. Yeah. And this is something that we're going to spend a lot of time on. And we'll send that around every day for comment as well. But tying in the three things, I think, is really what needs to be done, you know.
Well, that sounds like time banking, which is something that I'm a big fan of. Now, I know me and Thomas talked about this before on the show, and it's something that we have to get into and have a talk about, but we probably won't have to have time to do it tonight. But I will say to all the THI groups and the people who are involved in THI groups globally, don't be afraid to post up on your THI group any wins or any projects or any things that you've done. I know THI UK have gone and got some mugs printed and they've sold them and the funds have gone to the People's Club. Anything like that, get it up there. It's a win. Promote it. Let people know what you're doing. So, and this goes for all the THI groups. Work together, and if you're working on a project, I know some groups are probably only get together every now and again, and might be only one or two people in the group, and that's fine. That's no problem at all. But if there's any wins out there, post it up there, because one of the things that a lot of people do, well, I won't say a lot of people do it, but I've come across it on Facebook, is that when you post something up that you've done something, you'll get the trolls and the shills coming in, and they'll be attacking you, saying, "Oh, you're only doing that for your ego," and I think that is so wrong, because it's all about, hopefully, again, the 100 monkey syndrome, the 100 monkey effect, where people will see other people doing good things and it'll catch on and everybody else will do it. So don't worry about the trolls and shills. If you've done something good to help people... Oh, there's my cup of tea. Thank you very much. She must love
me. The best thing to help with that is attribute it to the group. So, you know, who, it doesn't matter to me who did it.
Yeah, exactly. Put to the group.
What matters is... it's been done. You know, I often, much to Kim's annoyance, I often refer to we when it's actually I who's done certain things. But it comes across as better that way. Because the important thing is it got done, not who did it. So you can always attribute it to THI Alabama, if you like, whatever group you're in. And this is what we've done. Yes, it may be you, but it's still we.
Yeah, and it takes the ego out of it by doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, exactly. Post it up there, take the you out of it, and put the we instead, which takes the ego out, and then obviously, you know, it's a... Because I'm sure they would have... they would have all helped in some way. Now, I'm going to see what I can do, see if I can get Kim in there. So, Thomas, if you want to chat away there, if there's anything else you want to add in while I just try and bring Kim in.
Well, yeah, we mentioned the time banking. And I know there's something going on in Ireland over there. And it's a fantastic idea. I just don't think we're ready for it. And it goes back, it's the same as what's happened in the THI state and country groups, where you may get 10, 20 members, but you've only got two or three who are actually doing something, and the others are just hanging on. And time banking will go the same way. You get two or three people who will give their time, and others just won't participate.
Yeah.
And this is where the we have to change the mindset. You know, that time banking to me is after the funds have come out. You know, was one of the things Kim asked me, if you were the trustee, what would you do? Well, the first thing is we make sure the whole world has the five basics. That's the priority. You know, there's billions of people who don't have five basics, and that has to be the priority. And then. You know, we improve the things in life across the board, because everything has to be changed. You can't do it overnight. It's not possible.
Yeah, totally.
There's roughly 489 different aspects of life that has to change and improve. And that takes a lot of time in general terms, if everyone's on board, but not when you've got the mindset of the mass majority of people, you know. And so eventually, once that's done, which is going to take 30, 40 years, then you can start, because at that point, people are more community-based and the time banking will flow automatically with it. And then you're going towards a society that doesn't need money at all.
Exactly. And the one thing...
We use the trust.
Yeah.
Which is releasing the life force energy. But once it's given back to the people, it's up to the people to share their life force energy, not pieces of paper.
It's funny that when you talk about the funding and the changes to take place, and I've spoken to a couple of people about this, and they said, oh, well, when's it going to happen? And I said, well, they've had their system in place for hundreds, thousands of years. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time. And as you say, you go back to the...
We've tried everything. Mm. Eventually, we will get round all of them and we will not need their input. Mm. They know it and we know it. Now, maybe there's a divine time for it. Who knows? For want of a better term. We've offered them, all of them, deals that are more than fair. You know, Kim mentioned the third, third and third, and they told us to go F ourselves. Mm. You know, these people are not interested in the funds. They're just interested in controlling it.
Yeah.
And so... That's what we're up against. But they, the difference between them and us is they stick together. We haven't.
Mm. And that's where...
allowed mainstream media and other clowns to divide and conquer us over history and narrative that is all false.
And people need to see that they are programs. Program. You just look at something and go, program, divide and conquer, program. And it becomes very self-evident when you watch that. But listen, I just want to bring Kim in. Good evening, Kim. How are you doing?
Well, Alan, how are you?
Not too bad at all.
Thomas, hi, Liam.
Hi.
Thanks for coming on and joining us. So we're just, again, talking about the THI and the funding and what needs to be done. And we do have a couple of questions. There's a couple of questions that I've been asked, and I'd like to touch base with you on them questions. But Thomas, is there anything you want to add in or finish there before I ask Kim the questions?
No, I'm fine. Bye.
Okay. One of the questions that, well, maybe Thomas, you can probably answer this along with Kim, but just to bring Kim in to the actual conversation. One of the questions I do get asked on a number of occasions is about the quantum system and the whole idea of intent and how the system works and how is it going to work. Not so much got to do with when is the funding going to come out and any of that, but more so how the quantum system works and based on intent. So because, as you said, the quantum system is something that was given to you, and it looks at your intent. It's not just a simple system. How does that work with the current banking system? How does that all work? Or is that, I don't know whether that's a show in itself, Kim, or whether that's something that you can answer.
I can chime in briefly, and then Kim can give you the deeper details. But in essence, what we're going back to is source-based, which has been denied to this planet a long, long time. And so source recognizes intent. And so it is a source-based system, you know. And so if you're what's happening all over the world now, people will see and seeing what I warned would happen 4 to 5 years ago. The masks of illusion have fallen. And people would expose themselves and each other, and everyone's seeing it now, and that's why it's in chaos, because people don't know how to act, because they've lived this fake illusion life for too long, you know. But that's how, essentially, we're going back to a source-based connection, one-on-one, with the One. And that's the intent and the issue behind
the quantum system. Kim, do you want to jump in on that?
Okay, where to start? How does it work? Well, in the world, in our world that we live in right now, you have the etheric world, and then you have the material world. And one definitely affects the other. So in other words, you have frequencies, light, sound, you have source light, right? Which fractalates and becomes the other colors of light that you see. And then you have the material world, so the world in which money flows and whatnot, right?
Okay.
So originally, when I got this system or started figuring out how to use it, it had a couple of subsectors that have been closed down since early 2016. Matter of fact, February of 2016. And one of them was your, let's say, an amplified version of MKUltra, where it would actually implant thoughts into your head, right? It would communicate with people through brainwave frequency, because the system was designed originally to, take life force energy.
Harvest.
Underneath the harvest, that's right. Mm. It was designed to harvest your energy. So if you think about it, right, in conjunction with the ANNA system, which was based out of Belgium, and the XN system, which is also based out of Belgium, it was designed to have ownership over you, or you are an employee of the system, right? You go to work, you pay your taxes, you pay taxes on your house, you... by the time it's all said and done, really about 20% of your income is actually yours.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm. So the theory behind it, in order to harvest energy, right, which all humans produce, you all produce source-based energy, which exists, that is your life force energy, you have to structure the financial system, both on the front and the back, to absorb that energy, to basically draw that energy out of every human on the planet. So if you picture to yourself the Ring of Solomon or the Star of David, it's basically one triangle pointed up, one triangle pointed down. The triangle pointed up in the back would be the back system, or the quantum system, which, by the way, is not new. It was not created by the Earth Alliance. It was not created by any of these people. And it is not something that is going to be launched, like everybody says on the internet. It is not. That is not what this is. It has been in existence on this planet for a very, very, very long time. And it hasn't been changing until about 2016 was when the changes started to be made. Now, on the front side of the banking system, you would have the downward pointed triangle. 9, which is your source energy, right? If you go back to what you know about Tesla, if you don't, look it up. The downward pointed triangle was controlled by what you call the black screen, basically ultimate darkness. Remember, Solomon's treasures were guarded by the demons, right? No. And then the upward pointed triangle also has a control and command, which is the white screen. And one was basically covering the other. Now, that's all changed. But the back system runs on frequency, light, and sound. It has a perpetual energy source, which is source-based now. And it doesn't need your energy anymore to run. It generates its own.
Yep. So that ends the harvesting.
So has everybody's intent been mapped on the planet?
It does have the capacity to do that. It has a very large mapping system, which has been mapping virtually every human in existence for until 2016. So it does have the capacity to do that. So knowing that it's source-based, right? Mm. You've heard people talk about the Akashic Records or something like that. Akashic Records. Mm. Well, all of that is contained in every particle of light that exists within yourself and within the planet and within source itself.
Okay.
So that being said, it's almost like a giant network computer for the multiverse. So if you're at source itself, and then one small piece comes off, then that would be your network computer on a giant network. But it's kind of like surfing the internet. You know, you're connecting to the Wi-Fi, and then you're surfing the internet, right? Mm. Well, the internet is a boundless source of information, probably half of it right and half of it wrong, or maybe even more than half of it wrong, but it's there. And you have to know what you're looking for Otherwise, you'll just sit there in infamy, right? Asking questions, secrets of the universe, right? And Source kind of works the same way. So if you're connected to that network, you can connect to other people who are also on the internet, right?
Okay. So
So Source works the same way. So that's how telepathic communications work. That's how brain waves and frequency works. We as humans do it all day long, every day. You just don't realize it. You know, if you walk into a room, particularly sensitive people will say this energy is bad or this person is dangerous to me. Or as a mother, you know when your child is in danger, even though they might be 100 miles away from you. You have an innate, what you would call a sixth sense. But that is exactly what it is you're doing in the technical sense. You're connecting through Source to the other party.
Yeah, and this so is...
Go ahead.
That's why they're introducing the smartphones technology, because the Source energy is now connecting with people globally, and they're giving you machines so you don't enhance your telepathic communication ability.
Okay. So how does that work with the day-to-day running of the banking system? Is the quantum system linked to the banking system? Because people who are on a day-to-day basis when you're dealing with THI members, and it's a relevant question where people don't understand the advanced side of the quantum side. They're thinking of on a level of, we have a current banking system, and if and when the funds came out, is it linked to that, or how does that work?
Well, it is to an extent, okay? So right now that feature is turned off, but can be turned on, and it can be turned on specifically to a specific party. It doesn't necessarily have to be everybody in the world all the time, but it can let's say, run the most comprehensive intelligence report you've ever seen in your life. No matter what anybody tells you or what they say on the telephone, you can actually tell what it is they're really thinking.
Okay. And would you be concerned that if that was switched on, again, this is why yourself and Thomas are trying to get these people on board, because you don't want to, again, you've had this experience already where you've released funds and they've been taken and you've had to go and take them back again. And you don't want to go through the whole process again.
Well, every single time, okay, so if money is energy, right, both given and taken, money was originally created to give pretty papers to the cabal, because as they were the former trustees. So he was actually taking control over rare earth minerals and elements unknown to humankind and all kinds of things from these people, at the same time giving them pretty papers in return. Now, pretty papers, it really doesn't mean anything, right? The only thing it means to you is you can take that pretty paper to its store and you can buy yourself some groceries, or you can pay your rent, or you can exist or buy something for your family, right?
Okay.
Like you said, Thomas said, basic needs. And most people don't even have basic needs. Only a small portion of people have basic needs. And the ones that are hoarding it, or were hoarding it, we're just rotating the funds through all their corporations through the 1%.
Yeah, which is why they're the few corporations that keep going. This is what I mentioned earlier. You know, that figure of 44% is fake, because without that cheating of funds that were stolen out of the trust and swirling it round, all those corporations would have collapsed. Because that's the way it was designed. The corporations were just there as a front shop for the former trustee to collect all the assets, all the world assets, the real assets, and pieces of paper are not assets. It has no intrinsic value unless the government tells you it is. You know, Trump could come out tomorrow and says, we're going to legalize monopoly money. Which is essentially what the dollar is. It's monopoly money. It's a piece of paper. It has no value. So he gave them pieces of paper to go and buy up all kinds of assets and pieces of land and mansions and all the other stuff and corporate giants.
All funneled through their banks.
And then he collected all the assets, the real assets.
And then, And then you put your money back into their custody every time you put a dollar into a bank account.
Yeah.
So the way that it's structured now, okay, and actually most recently as of Thursday, because we're constantly making changes. So every single time we send out a dollar, right, for $100 million or $10 million, and it gets stopped at some point, we now have identified that point and eradicate that point.
Okay.
And then we say, well, how do we prevent until they run out of points?
That's a massive amount of work and a massive task to do.
You're telling us.
We know.
We know.
You know, it's like, you know, it's like whack-a-mole, isn't it? It really is like whack-a-mole. You have to.
But eventually, every time they fail, it takes them an awful lot of energy to come up with a new way. And in essence, you know, we've done the work, and now we can sit back. This is why I said last year we can sit back a bit, because we're ready, but they're not. And what also they're doing now is defensive modes of blocking, when for thousands of years they've been attacking us and just taking everything. Now they can't do that. And all they're doing is spending vast amounts of resources on media to tell lies, spin things, and harvest each other's companies and block the trust. Mm. It's a massive fall.
I'd just like to bring Liam in, because I haven't had Liam in there for a minute. Liam, we talked about earlier on about the cooperative model and about your approach and the changes you made to your businesses. When you approach a company for the first time, and you tell them how you work and what way you're going to work, do they look at you as if you're kind of a bit funny?
Yeah, quite regularly. but one thing I would say, I was pleasantly surprised recently, because one of our customers, and I think this is because our intentions out there, we're setting a standard, we're working this way ourselves. And one of our customers, a fairly big organisation, turning over about $800 million a year, so not your typical company, normally they would be screwed you down for price and all the rest of it. You know, came along and basically some of the ideas we had for our trading standards about open book policy, being fair, you know, how could we work together? And you know, this is what this company did. I nearly fell off the chair when they came in. You know, we want to work with you more. We want to give you more business. Here's the prices we've been paying. Is that suitable to you? You know, how could we work with your company? How could we invest maybe in helping with equipment so as it helps us and helps you? Now, I was amazed at it. So it is happening. I have to say, most of the time, yeah, you just go into it as if you've got horns, you know. But it is starting to happen, and that was a big organisation. I've actually got a question for Kim, because we have been creating some plans here for the Life Force Energy Restoration Plan, as we're calling it. And it's just a framework, some guidance for everyone to get on to a discussion about how to manage funding when it comes through. At highest level of government, tying in with them and local areas and right down to village towns, all the rest of it, what the appraisal panels would look like, how would have the transparency there so as everybody can get involved, how that been reported back, even how an application form might look for the different levels. But one of the questions.
Oh, I think we lost there. Let me just bring everybody else. The old Skype went down. Liam, sorry. Liam, can I just jump in? We lost you there. Everything went down again on Skype. I don't know why. Can you just.
Essentially.
I could hear him.
Okay. Yeah, okay, that was down on this end. It just went. Everything went down, and I had to bring you all back in again. So sorry about that.
All right. Okay.
The answer is yes, and Kim will tell you more details. You know, the quantum system is not just about banking; it's about everything. You know, and Kim in particular, and I would like to go and work on other things rather than just the funding aspect, you know, because we can make major changes with more time when we're not focusing on funding. And so it's unlimited. The only thing that limits it is your own imagination.
Okay.
Well, the quantum system has the new, how do I say it? Okay, so the back system is now semi-merged with the front system. And the world used to run on, and to get into technical parts, so in the Tesla's triangle, right, you have a 9, 6, 3 on the outside, and then you have the material world, which is your 1, 2, 4, 5, 7, and 8, right? And you can look this up and apologize, but okay, so the banking system structured in the same way. So you have a level 3, right? And back in the late 70s, what they did is they actually ran data cables. A certain organization in Virginia ran data cables all around the world, actual cables. And so it was called a VAX port system. And a port-to-port system runs by connecting directly to a cable, one computer to another. And that is how the banking system was structured all around the world. Well, if you built it, you control it, right? So come to find out, this particular organization was actually one of the blocking points because we had to connect to the VAX port system to get the funds out, and therefore, you know, they just shut the port off or disconnect the cable or whatever it was, right, at the time. So in November, we launched, late October, we launched a VTN network, which is like a VPN network on steroids. It's a virtual trusted network. So every computer that has a static IP address can join the VTN network. So to answer your question, one of my goals and what I've been trying to do actually is, you know, at the same time we're fighting tooth and nail to get money into banks, I'd like each person on the planet to eventually be their own bank. So I've set up the system slowly but surely to allow that to happen. Now, right now, you would be lost in a plethora of code if you were to log in directly to the VTN network. But the VTN network does allow for communication to other banks, other central banks, and of course the back system, which allows us to deposit directly into your computer network. It also would can issue encryption keys and digital signatures, which allows the bank to accept funds from your system to the next party. So it's kind of, I'm setting it up to the point where I hope one day in the future that each person becomes their own bank. So you don't need a license to put British pounds or euro or dollars in your pocket, right? You can carry as much money as you want to, well, technically, in your pocket on any daily basis without a license. But what you can't do is you can't act as a custodian or a fiduciary on behalf of a second and third party person, right? Yeah. So as long as you're only holding your money or you're only holding your company's money, and then you distribute that money, right, as you pay payroll, whatever it is, or you go buy to the grocery store, then there's no license required. You just be a bank unto yourself. And the problem that I've had with this is that, you know, I call it like a pocket system, right? So say you have a person within THI Scotland, right? And they're very tech savvy and they can build what I call a pocket system or a wallet system, right? And now you would sign a service provider agreement in order to maintain that pocket, no different than you pay the dry cleaner to maintain your pants. See? So all they're doing is maintaining that digital wallet for you and providing you access to the road, so to speak. But yes, the VTN network can connect to any static IP address. The reason why it's called a virtual trusted network is because as a virtual trusted network, it will actually register the fingerprint in totality of your static server itself. So it will, you know, every computer has its own fingerprint. So it will recognize the fact that you have a server and will checks 186, 187 points, plus also a computer is what you would call living DNA. So if there's like some erratic thing that happens, like you're normally maybe sending in on a daily basis $1 million in and out, and all of a sudden $500 billion goes in or out, it will turn you off of the network and say, you know, what is this anomaly? So it's quite sophisticated, actually. And
can I just add to that? One of the things that, because it's so sophisticated, the likes of somebody going up to you who might be sinister in their own way and pointing a gun to your head or whatever and saying, right, I want you to go up and extract the money that you have in your account, because it's so intelligent and because it knows that you're doing it with the wrong intent, it won't allow you to do it. Is that correct?
From the back system or from the new VTN network?
Well, if we're going to become our own banks and we've accessed the funds, there to avoid something like that happening, is it that intelligent that I'd be able to pick that up?
It can be.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Thomas.
It can be implemented that way. You know, Kim mentioned in the last time she was on about, you know, the project funds going to the right way and being spent in the right way, and the machine will recognize it. Well, the same thing will apply to people's banks if they're being forced under duress. Then it can be implemented into the VTN system, the same as if Kim is kidnapped and forced to sign over the trust, it won't happen because it's not the right intent. So it's not just for Kim's benefit. It can be applied to everyone. So it'll cut down on that type of criminality.
Yeah, because that might be something moving forward, because, you know, the one thing that you said, Thomas, is that, you know, it's great where the banks and the cabal are kind of, you know, realizing that they have to come to the table and discuss. But you're always going to get an element that won't do that, or an element that just don't get it. They don't understand that, and they're thinking in the old way. And from a security point of view, I think that's great moving forward.
Well, everything's going to change now. It's source-based energy. You know, the old world is going to disappear, and the new world will arise.
Mm. Well, Thomas, you've heard me talk about JM, right?
Yeah.
The person I refer to as JM. Yeah. JM's actual goal, and he's helped us quite a bit, this person, his actual goal is to create what the back system does is it's based on living DNA and brain waves and whatnot, right? So he's actually designed and architected a system that would actually run the front side banking system this way. So, you know, and the system is going to cost millions of dollars to build, which is why it's not built, but the VTN is setting up for that next step. So in the future, yes, to answer your question, you won't be able to log into anything without being alive, you know, number one. Number two, mm-hmm. You cannot be under duress.
Ooh, that just gave me a good thought. That means the Dems won't be able to have dead votes in the election either, will they?
That is correct. Yeah. You can no longer be dead and vote.
Well, that's
actually true.
We have the same over here. I'm sure there's people that shouldn't be on the electoral register are. I've got a couple of questions here from a listener called Duncan on PIR. And it's sidetracking a little bit, but I understand that obviously they have questions, people who are not familiar with the setup of THI and the funding. And he says, hi, Kim, where is the funds kept and where are the World Trust documents held? And can we see them, or is it all on your say-so?
Okay, first of all, legally speaking, okay, the trust is not a trust. It was not structured this way. First of all, I didn't structure it. It was already like this when I became trustee. Now, it is legally a country. So it possesses its own central bank. It possesses its own country code. And it is an entity unto itself. Now, legally speaking, it also signed off on the sovereignty of every other country virtually in existence. Therefore, these countries are all subsidiaries of the trust. Remember I said everybody used to be an employee of the system? Mm. This is why. So the governments are an employee of the system. Then the people are an employee of the system, right? Right down the line to the very last person. Everybody's feeding into the system. So there are not trust documents. In legal documents in the archives of countries to which the trust had signed treaties with, including the United Nations, it's listed as unknown country or no-name country. No-name country and such country did this. And they signed treaties.
Essentially, that was to cover the control system and the previous owner. Because if you're not, as let's say, domained in a certain country, then you are outside of the
laws.
You're not subject to its laws. So, so the trust, as we call it, is not subject to any laws. It's a law unto itself. Now, we're not going to run it that way, and Kim's not going to run it that way. Everything that was collected, every asset is going to be shared equally amongst all the people, because that's who the assets really belong to. And yes,
it's already running this way.
Yeah, you know, and so that's what's going to take place. And I appreciate some people want documentation. But we can, anyone can produce documentation. We've all seen all kinds of fake documents online of Sino and Sukarno and all the Philippine and Indonesian stuff. Anyone can produce documents. It doesn't make them real. But
yeah.
That's essentially the issue behind it, is that people want to see some sort of document. Well, there was no documents, and yet they still made treaties with the UN.
Well, you're gonna love the next question, and Kim can answer this as well.
Just one more line to that last question.
Okay.
Remember, I'm not selling anything to anybody. I'm guarding something.
Yeah,
that's my job.
Yeah, and go ahead.
And unlike my predecessors, I'm trying to do the right thing by the people. Mm. And all these people have done to me, basically, from governments to agencies to average everyday people on the internet, is just scream at me all the time.
Mm. It's,
you know, I'm trying to turn this around. Nobody's helping. Mm. You see, you've got myself. Thomas helps me virtually on a daily basis with work. Okay, meaning he's participating on a daily basis, coming up with ideas, how to fix this problem, how to solve that problem. You know, we banter back and forth and we come up with the next step. But other than that, you know, everybody wants to see documentation. Everybody wants to see something. But what are you going to do with it if you get it? Are you going to post it on Facebook? Are you going to do what? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to show it to the government and have the government purportedly help you? Now, I've done this a million times and nobody's wanted to talk to me. I mean, they do call me every time they need money, but I mean, they don't, you know, nobody's doing anything to help us.
No.
You know, everybody expects us to slay the dragon for them, literally.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the questions, and you've hit the nail on the head there. And it's something that we get asked all the time. I get asked, Thomas, Liam probably gets asked, and it's one of the questions we have here, because it's basically Duncan wants to know, just asking, is there now a way of checking this Thomas keeps saying about his research, so where do I verify the information? I mean, at the end of the day, you're right, Kim, even if you had all the documentation there and you could present it in front of these people, you know, it's just to convince them that what you're saying is right. Is this, I don't know, is this an ego thing, or is it just, does that make them feel better because they see the paperwork?
What it's doing is dissolving their own personal responsibility of doing something. That's what it's doing.
Okay.
You know, you get people asking me, what can I do to help? Well, why are you asking?
I'll tell you what would happen. I already know the answer to the question. Okay. I was asked by a particular country's agency less than 48 hours ago for me to send over all the documentation, all the information about the new name of the trust. Because we are no longer, the name Mana is no longer present. So it's individualized, it's broken up into hundreds of thousands, if not millions of pieces right now. And each account now has a purpose. And all the account numbers have changed. They're all not the same anymore. I've created new ones, I'm moving things around. Nonetheless, right? Well, now, why do you think they wanted to know that? They didn't want to know that so they could validate the trust.
No.
What they wanted to know was so they could replicate these documents, so they can replicate and add themselves as the new chosen one or the Jesus number 682, you know, or whatever, right? So that is why they wanted it. So I reversed it out on them, and basically what I did is I gave my representative in this particular country majestic clearance, which is the highest clearance level, 2-3 layers above NATO's clearance level in the world. And I said, you don't have enough clearance to have that information. I'm so sorry.
Wow. It's amazing, and myself and Thomas have talked about this. You know, out of everybody out there trying to, you know, bring out their own version of, you know, what they're doing to try and, you know, you say Anna von Reitz is trying to say that she's in charge of the foundation and the funds and all that. You and Thomas are the people who seem to get it all the time. You know, validate. But the other groups don't seem to.
Gets asked. Well, that's indicative in and of itself. You know, Anna von Reitz, you know, we tried to work with her twice. Kim engaged her twice, and she tried to steal funds via the Vatican.
Wanted to assign bonds against in-ground assets of the United States and sell the bonds to the Vatican, who also doesn't have any money.
And she's setting herself up as fiduciary, which is agent of the people. Who appointed her? Does anyone ask Anna von Reitz who appointed her agent of the souls? Nobody. You know, but it appears there's only one group who gets questioned, and that in and of itself is indicative of proof, because nobody else gets questioned on the same way for proof.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing. Do you see me telling everybody I'm fiduciary or whatever? Just go be it. I mean, literally, Thomas talks about maybe about 2% of the things that happen in our lives on a daily basis. Very little information actually comes out as to the work that happens behind it, because it's not an actionable item for the people. What are the people going to do with this information? Right?
Yep.
It's like everybody's looking for mass arrest. Okay, so let's just say tomorrow the entire government of the United States or the United Kingdom or Russia or somewhere, you know, all quits, like happened in Russia recently. Okay, well, then you're just going to have another guy and another lady, and they're going to have the same problems and the same issues. You know, it doesn't change your daily life.
Only changes is if we step into those roles, which is what the People's Club is all about. It's creating a people's brand to go act in a better way, think and act different, need not greed, and then eventually create as big a brand as possible where it becomes for and by the people. And then we install the People's Club candidates into government and help the government, because the governments get no help. Everyone blames them.
Yeah, and nothing Liam here is doing or any other THI group is doing is illegal. You're helping people. Mm. You're having a charitable donation, and you're helping people. Mm. The government doesn't care.
Yeah.
Nobody cares what you're doing. I mean, literally, they didn't care before you started, and they're certainly not going to care after, as long as you're not breaking the law. And there's no law against people helping people.
Yeah.
And so in my personal opinion, you know, think about all the major changes that have happened in his story. In his story, it's always one guy, one lady, one girl, you know, one person, one child sometimes, right? And then they started a whole movement, and everybody got behind them and started doing whatever they were doing. Mother Teresa, Hitler, unfortunately, you know, I mean, Genghis Khan, you know, go throughout history and name all the different people.
The only time I see a problem, Kim, down the line, and just as me just being open-minded about it, is when you become competition to the government. You become competition to them, or you're doing something that is showing them up for their incompetence. That's the only thing I would say.
No, that's not the case. We're not here to replace government. Mm. We're here to improve the government. Mm. You know, people think the governments are separate people. No, they're us. And yes, we know there's some certain ones in there that shouldn't be in there. Mm. And we can all come up with names. But you are responsible for that government. Well, at the moment, the people are not being responsible. And they're letting, in essence, the politicians hang. Mm. You know, well, that's not the politicians' fault. And yes, we can mention names that are real bad. But in general, when you take it at politics in general, it's supposed to run for and by the people. But the people are not running it. The people are not voting on policies. They're voting on personalities. None of which they have any idea of that person's personality. So if your government's a mess, that's down to us because we've not put enough effort into it. We've let them, you take control of it, you look after our lives, and when it goes shit, then we can all point fingers at them. No, actually, it's pointed at us because we have not done enough as people. That's the problem. And this is what we're going to change with the People's Club, is we're going to be responsible, we're going to look after each other, and if we look after each other, we create a people's brand, which then will encompass and go within the government. And the governments are going to love it because they do too much. They're babysitting us too much.
Yeah. And it's the nanny state. And as long as we keep acting like kids, they'll keep being the nanny.
Yeah.
And we have to go into the adult side and become adults. Again, I've mentioned on the show about going from the child mind to the adult mind, and that's what we need to do. We need to grow up and be the adult mind, and that's when society will actually be stepping forward. Another question that I get asked on a number of occasions, Thomas Orkiam, to this question is, how did, maybe it's just the comprehension of how the things work might be confusing, but people have this impression that, you know, the likes of the Rothschilds are trillionaires and all that. And how did the trust manage to take all the money and the assets away from them? Now, that could be the wrong thing to say, because I know you mentioned, Kim, about the fact that they took assets and they traded in for money in the trust. I'm not sure how that works. Maybe you can explain it a bit. You'll explain it a lot better than I will.
Well, first of all, these people, okay, so you have your dragon families, which are your Rothschilds, whether you're Chinese or Middle Eastern or Russian or British or African, they're all the same. And they all work together. Different colors were created for different regions of the world, but it's all the same organization. And at the highest level, they are a coven, as Thomas had explained in his shows previously, okay? So they were supposed to be guardians. They were supposed to be the guardians of the wealth of humanity. But remember, 3,000 years ago, Solomon decided that he was going to build the second temple, which is basically the trust. Collect all the assets, Solomon's mines around the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he, God left him, remember, in the Bible, in the Testaments of Solomon, which are not, it's a little bit different. He starts talking to all these different demons and says, what can you do for me? What can you do for me? And he decided to work with the demons and not the angels, so to speak. And the demons have been guarding for 3,000 years until December of 2018. There was nothing we could do about it. The covenant was broken finally at that point. But to answer your question, as a guardian of the trust, right, as a trustee of the trust, which is what they were. Okay, the owner of the trust is all of humanity and some others, right? Mm. But humanity has its portion. So So they were supposed to be guarding on behalf of all humanity, kind of like you would set up a trust, so to speak, for your children. And you say, well, until you're 40, you can't manage your own money. You have to have a lawyer manage it for you, or I'll be managing it for you until, you know, you something happens to you, and then it goes to the lawyer, and then the lawyer eventually at the age of 40 or something signs it over. Well, these people were permitted to take 2% of everything that they did. So that's one way they gained a lot of wealth. Remember, when they came to the UK, Rothschild was broke. Mm. Back in the 1500s? No. They got a $20,000, not dollar, British pound or whatever it was, loan from the trust. And that's how they started.
The bonds, which are debt instruments, IOUs, that was getting 2% as well, wasn't it? On everything. So they were claiming 2% not only on the credits, but also on the debit side.
Right. And as trustee, it was supposed to be investing on behalf of all of humanity. And you were supposed to pay proper wages. And you were supposed to do all of these things in your big corporations. And they didn't. Now, they are not permitted technically to profit directly from any investment that the trust makes as trustee. You have 2%, which is allowed to you for your own personal security, for your own personal well-being, for travel, in order to manage the affairs of the trust, more like your office fund, right? Your company fund. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's not actually for your own personal gain. It's supposed to be to pay yourself a salary conducive to the job that you're doing, right? Mm. And then you're supposed to, yeah, the rest of it's for your personnel, somebody to answer the telephone, to pay the telephone bill, so to speak. So what they did is they structured it so that they would get second, third, and fourth party profits. As an example, the trust invested and created Airbus, okay? Mm. Manufacturer of planes. Well, still to this day, Rothschild receives one free plane every year, wow, which it sells or retains or whatever it is. Now, the trust, that's supposed to be the trust plane. That's supposed to be humanity's plane. Mm. It's not. What about all the oil and gas? Mm. You know, they keep trying to recreate things that they already did. So, as an example, then you have the Black Sun, which is the other side. So, one of the two of them is responsible for selling a bond or $189 trillion in derivatives against all the oil in the Middle East, as an example. Just the oil, not the gas, not anything else, just the oil. Now, they get angry when they can't reassign it and get more money. But you already sold it. Mm. You see?
It's like selling your house, Alan, and then going back to the bank and said, I want to sell it again.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, and again, and again.
And of course, they don't see the problem. Well, won't say a problem. To them, it's just, that's just business.
Ignoring the fact that they're stealing the oil for free.
Yeah. Yeah, unbelievable.
Or they were.
I'm just watching the time, folks, and I was just wondering, is everybody okay for staying on till about 20 past the hour?
Fine by me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That okay?
Sure.
Yeah, just we'll run until about... I want to... There's a couple of things I have to say at the end of the show. So if we run until about 20 past the hour, and that gives me 10 minutes at the end just to go through a few things, that would be great. And what we'll do, when it comes to at the top of the hour, we'll unfortunately have to lose PIR because they have their own show, but we'll be still running on the Circle of White Light stream, so that's fine. That's no problem at all there. Right, okay. Well, the trust, one of the things about the trust as well is that you said, does people, famous people we know who are trustees of the trust, and one of the things, Thomas, you said that was the fact that these people, the public thought these people were brilliant, like Nelson Mandela, I think you was one of them. But if they were so nice and brilliant people, why didn't they use the money they had through the trust to help the people?
Well, you could, first of all, you know, I believe that there's good and bad in everyone. And what did my predecessor used to do is he would let people get so far. and in progress so much before he would try to own them. You know, he spent 3-4 years trying to own me, trying to control me. You know, what is it you desire? What is it that you want? You know, and I just didn't fall for any of it. I'm not interested in anything he was selling.
Yeah.
And when it became apparent that he couldn't, you know, all was lost for him at that point.
Yeah. And that's one of the things, Thomas, that you said about the five things that you try and get you on. It's down to people to be aware of that. These five things, you know, the hooks that they try and get you on.
Yeah,
seven deadly sins.
Well, seven deadly sins plays into it, and then you've got the five hooks with the hidden one, which is the ego. Mm. You know, and unfortunately, humanity has fallen for those hooks, whether it's the seven, five, or six, far too easily. You know, this is how the politicians come corrupt. You know, here's $1 million, go and sign off, or here's $10 million. Go and vote against Trump in the impeachment. Oops. Yeah, you know, well, some people will do it. Mm. And this is why the People's Club has a big role, is to teach people not to go down that path. Otherwise, you're just repeating the old system, and you're going to fail, because the old system is designed to fail. That's what people have to understand. We were not supposed to be here after 2012. They had all the assets in 2007, which is why he cut off all the clowns, Kim's predecessor. He cut them all off. All these von Wrights and families and Habsburgs and Rothschilds and Black. M just cut them all off. So that's how much he valued them. And the next stage was to end this planet like they've ended many other planets previously.
Mm.
Not 90%, 100%. And this is where these so-called Elites, which is their real term, think they were the chosen ones, special ones, Jesus this, Mary that, Imhotep, and all kinds of angel names. No, they were going to get eliminated with us.
It's just amazing. I mean, the Jupiter Ascending, the movie, it's like a big farm. You know, I look at that movie and there's so many things that, like, I feel are kind of spot on.
Yeah, well, the humans are the Abraxans.
Mm.
You know, they're worse than the Draco.
Yeah.
Which do exist, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, and it's got the harvesting plant that the reptile was running. It's telling you what they were doing, you know, and... fiction is fact, and fact is fiction.
Yeah.
I said this a long time ago on the show. And once people understand that, they have to tell you what they're doing. But what they wrap it up in is in fiction. And then people ignore it, or they say it's a futuristic world we're describing. No, it's not futuristic. It's now and the past, like the Hunger Games. Mm. Hunger Games is actually running now in many, many countries. And it's been transferred to the Western world, as many more people are going hungry. Mm. It's not some futuristic thing. It's happening, and they're laughing in our faces.
Well,
and we get away with that because we don't care for each other enough.
Yeah, I totally agree. We need to talk about this year in particular, about what's going to happen. I just want to say to the people on People's Internet Radio, I'm going to be dropping the stream now in a minute. So if you want to carry on listening, pop over to circleofwhitelight.com on the website and listen to the click on the player there, and you'll be able to carry on listening to the show. And we'll be dropping the stream in literally a minute. This year, we've talked about 2020 and the whole idea of 2020 vision. And myself and Liam, we've privately talked about it and the way forward. And again, we're getting on with, and I think the THI groups, you know, with the People's Club, we don't have to, I mean, the funding is great. Whenever that happens, it happens. But it shouldn't be, we shouldn't be sitting down waiting for that. We should be getting, being active and get the People's Club moving in each country and get people doing what needs to be done and just get the ball rolling with that. How do you perceive 2020? I'll go around to everybody, Liam, Kim and Thomas. I want everybody's opinion on it. I'll start off with you, Thomas. What do you see 2020 What do you see happening in 2020?
It's going to get more and more ugly in their world. You know, people are seeing that now. You're going to see a lot more, and people are starting to see a lot more. More will get revealed. And eventually, we're very close to reaching a tipping point on many different levels. And once one goes, that snowball is not going to stop. It's up to the people to brace themselves and look after each other, and then help people who are not aware of this stuff when they're ready. Trying to engage them now when they're not ready is pointless. You know, you have to get yourself ready, and we have to get ourselves ready. Because if the trust fund comes out tomorrow, are you ready? Do you know what bank you're going to use? Do you know how to set up a corporation? What projects are you going to fund? What skill sets have you got within the group that's going to merge with that project? So, you know, all those things have to be done. I would rather us do it now before the funds come out and be ready to launch straight away rather than, oh, they're out now. Now I'm going to put some time and effort into it. Well, that's not helpful helpful to us now. As Liam has stated, you don't always need money. You know, it doesn't cost money to care for people.
Yeah, we need to be proactive now and start the planning process before the funds come out and have it all
going. Like I said, this is the People's Club is a giant teaching program to teach the world a different way.
Yeah. Okay, Kim.
Well, we already started off, we ended last year with a bang. There's nowhere for those that listen to Thomas's show, and I'm sure he can pass that on to you, Alan, too. But you know, we're no longer a harvest planet. All those ties have been severed. We are constantly making strides forward as far as funds release. We've created all these new systems to try to make this possible. We can use anyone's pocket system or wallet system that they have available in order to transfer funds directly. They become their own bank. We can do that now. We don't need banks anymore. We're still trying to work with these banks, but it'll happen when it happens. We just have to find, you know, all their gatekeeper programs and pass through them. Mm. And we have passed through many. We're doing pretty well. We don't need to worry about gatekeeper programs if it's a new bank outside the system or a pocket system. We're talking to a lot of people that are in the process of building these types of things. A lot of times it's chicken and egg, you know, we need money to finish and we need you to start, right? And then we'll put the money in my bank and, you know, we go round and round. But, you know, the people, in my opinion, what THI has achieved this year, not only with the THI groups, but also with the growing and learning and dealing with your shadow self and trying to take personal responsibility. What are you going to do when funds do come? How are you going to handle your own personal wealth? It has been momentous, unto itself. Mm. And, I have to applaud people like Liam, that have put together amazing programs that have done some great things for people without the trust. And my hope by the end of this year, nobody will need the trust anymore. Everybody will be on their own doing their own thing. And so now what are you going to do?
I think, Kim, the scale of the work that you have done, I don't think people have any comprehension. Maybe they might have a little bit of what needs to be done. I mean, as an ex-IT manager who is my job to protect the network, you know, it's like having portholes on a ship and you have to make sure all them portholes are secure. You know, again, it goes back to the whack-a-mole. Now, what you're doing is you're doing this on a global scale and you have to make sure all the portholes are shut in the banking system, well, yourself and Thomas. And I mean, to do that is just incredible, because it's bad enough being an IT manager trying to keep the hackers out, but if you're being attacked on a regular basis and you have to do that, I think, you know, there has to be a documentary that has to be done down the line to the work that yourself and Thomas and the foundation has done. I mean, it has to be done. There has, you know, people have to learn about this and be educated, and I think I'd like to see that somewhere down the line, maybe when all the smoke is cleared. But I'll pass off to Liam. Liam, what's your forecast for the year? What do you think is going to take place? What's going to happen for you? And how do you see things going?
Yeah, I think 2020 is going to be an amazing year, with or without funds coming out. Our experience tells us, certainly at the tail end of last year, manifestations just seem to be happening faster and faster. Once you've got a focus, once you've got an idea, a project, start visualising it, start planning it, and then before you know it, things start going out of the woodwork and it all comes together. I think that energy we're in is going to get faster and faster, and we have to plan. We really have to get together and plan as much as we can so we know what we're going to do when things start happening. You know, I have lots of experience in business, and for example, some of the companies we've seen that have been extremely well, new projects, extremely well funded, are a disaster because they throw money at trying to fix a problem. And the companies, the startups that were underfunded, are the ones that are most likely to survive, because it was essential to their survival. They planned well, you know. It'll be the same for all the projects, and we have to be really careful, you know. I think money coming out and funding coming out and not planned will be a total disaster. So we all need to get together, join all the groups together, get the thinking cap on. We're creating lots of stuff here that gives a starting point going forward. We're well prepared in Scotland, but we've still got work to do. You know, and you know, I think that's where we really need to go. Everybody needs to come together.
I think the THI groups, I think whoever is the leader, because one of the things that, Thomas, that you organise is to have a leader in each THI group. And the leader in each THI group needs to start thinking about if they haven't done it already, what the plans are, the knowledge in the group to actually run the, you know, business and set up the foundation in their country. And if there's any skill sets that you don't have, any information that you don't have, then obviously start contacting either myself, Liam, the business THI group, not Thomas, he's too busy and Kim's too busy, but contact myself, Liam, or the THI group. And then, you know, just start asking questions, and because we want everybody to be ready to go and hit the ground running, and not just start getting things done as soon as the funds come out. We want you to be proactive on that. So I think that'd be, you know, fair comment. Thomas?
Yeah, well, you know, this is unique, that it's going to be potentially the first thing ever run for and by the people. And so the people who are in THI and have grown up with the teaching program of how to be, it's up to you to go and teach that to the rest of the world. That's what we were tasked to do, you know. And the key is eliminating old system program thinking, you know. I'm the leader. No, I'm the leader. But, you know, no, we're all leaders. We have to go away from what they did, because everything they did failed right across the board. And so we have to do it a different way. So everyone is a leader. You can round robin the leaders, if you like, and get people to take turns. You know, like the same as on the calls, get people to make sure everyone who's on that call has a say. You don't want people sitting there silent, though this is your platform. Finally, you have a global platform to speak up. It's your responsibility to speak up, not just the leader of the group, everyone. This is your say. Everyone's complained, oh, the government won't let us speak, or the government won't allow this, or the cabal won't allow this. Well, here's your platform. You use it. That's what it's there for. Mm. You know, everyone's equal. Shift the leaders round. You know, it doesn't have to be one. You know, it's about us all. And essentially, you have to get up to speed to then set up your projects, get it ready, and then, like something Liam's doing, or considering, is sending the staff out to teach the people in the community of how things are working. Paid out of the company time, because we're teaching a completely different way of operating on the, right across the planet. And we're responsible, all of us.
Mm. I will just say that there is a number of questions that have come in the chat room, and the questions that we've come across before, and we could take another 3 hours to answer all the questions. I would just say to people, if you need answers to a number of questions that you have, you need to go over to the must and listen to the must listen to shows, and all the questions that you have will be answered in them shows. Because going over the questions over and over again is not really, it's just going to take up too much time on any show. That's why Thomas did the must listen to shows, to answer the questions that you have. Otherwise, we'd be here all night.
Eventually, THI as a show is going to end. I think it may end this year. That's what the archives are there for. Mm. You know, for people to catch up. It explains all the system, how they did it, who was involved in it, etc., etc. It's all there. You know, I want to change the shows from THI shows of what they did to us to the People's Club shows of what we're doing. That's where I want to go forward with.
Yeah.
So it'll be changed from THI show to the People's Club show. Well, we funded this person because they were doing this, that, and the other, or we've got this project running, you know, and bring people on who have been funded to say how they're getting on. So it's going to change the format of what they did, because we've heard all that now, or the bulk of it, and it's going to be about what we're doing, because that's the key going forward, not what they're doing. What they're doing now is completely irrelevant. Mm. It's what we do that counts.
What's the possibility of getting some kind of control of the media so we can actually start telling the truth?
Well, eventually that'll come. They're losing control of everything, Alan. The media is an embarrassment now.
It is, yeah.
They're covering more stuff out of the THI shows and trying to spin it. It's embarrassing watching them. You know, how people can watch it is beyond me.
Mm.
It's just an embarrassment. The government looks an embarrassment. The media looks an embarrassment. The business structure looks an embarrassment. The Rothschilds are an embarrassment. They're going after 115-year trusts, anything to keep relevant.
Mm.
It's not working.
What's your take? One of the questions asked earlier on the chat room was your take on this coronavirus. Is this again? I mean, you mentioned about the Bayer Labs and stuff. I think off air we were talking about that in China. But is this one of their? They didn't get the World War III, so is this just their attempt, their last ditch attempt to try and have some impact on the globe, on the planet?
It's another fear program. They can. I wish people would turn around and go to CNN or the BBC or Sky and says, where's the proof that 1,000 have died from coronavirus? Now, wouldn't that be a novel idea?
Mm.
Why do we just accept that 1,000 have died or 500 have died? Why do we accept that?
Mm.
You know, it started in Wuhan, which has got a level 4 bio facility right next door. You know, and who gets involved quickly? Who, being the operative word, World Horror Organization.
Mm.
Get this vaccine, get that vaccine, and, you know, we're all going to die program again.
May I chime in on this one too,
yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Okay, well, first of all, the coronavirus is the common cold virus.
Yep.
So all they did was mutate it a little bit so that it would spread faster and have more of an impact, number one. Number two, I guarantee you worldwide, more people have died of just the common flu than have of the coronavirus. Mm. So during when my predecessor was still alive, I'll give you kind of an example of something that happened. So you remember a few years ago, everybody was talking about Ebola. Yeah. UN, everywhere, right? Ebola. Okay, well, that's one wonderful and lovely, right? But they had a plan to make $800 billion, the UN, off the Ebola virus selling the vaccine. So now the Ebola virus is mentioned throughout his story, right? Mm-hmm. Several times. And how did they already have a vaccine for something that was new? Mm. How do they have a vaccine already? I mean, we all know how long it takes to get something approved through the FDA in the U.S. or whatever agency it is in your particular country, right? Mm. I mean, how could you have the UN or the World Health Organization all of a sudden has a vaccine when no one seems to know how to cure the common cold and it's the same virus?
Problem, reaction, solution again.
Create the problem and be the solution.
Yeah.
Is what they say. Mm. They've always said that. And that's exactly, this is no different than it was the last time or the time before that or the time before that, right?
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah, it's like order out of chaos. No, they create the chaos for the benefit of the order. Now, THI members will know what the order is. It's the top end. It's not order as in orderly fashion. No, it's the order. We create the chaos for the benefit of the order.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, they just use it time and time again, and then the whole divide and conquer thing. And the more people see through the actual programs that they roll out time and time again, it's amazing how people invest so much time. There's a certain individual on YouTube, I won't mention his name, and he's very doom and gloom. He's still on the Planet X. Nirubu is going to come in and hit, you know, cause major problems. And I did send him a message and I said, look, you know, send me an email and I'll give you some information that will go against what your belief system is. And I'll give you some information on it. And he never got back to me. And I just thought, there's such a big investment in a lot of people into their a belief system that when it's challenged or when you say, well, no, you're wrong, they just won't accept it because they've invested so much time into it.
It's the fear-based program again. Mm. That's why I said that recently on our show. I'm not covering chemtrails and coronaviruses. It's the same fear program. Over and over again, H1N1, AIDS, Ebola, you name it. You know, African killer bees are coming. The Russians are coming. Like when? Mm. The Muslims are coming. The Chinese are coming. Did they? No.
Yeah.
At which point do you not see the pattern that they're just repeating over and over again as a distraction program and to put people in fear?
The fear porn, yeah.
Well,
it looks like 2020 is going to be a good year. I'm quite actually, quietly positive about 2020 and the things that are taking place. And things I'm seeing the system collapse over. You said it, Thomas. You said that it's going to go out into the public now and people will see it. It'll be in their face and it's happening. There's people resigning from companies, there's people kind of jumping off buildings and people being exposed, especially the paedophilia stuff. I know where Corey, that actor from The Goonies, he's coming out and he's exposing Hollywood, apparently, things that happened, the abuse that he had in Hollywood. So there's a lot of stuff coming out and I think that we will go down a bit more before it starts going up.
Yeah, but the key to that, need to intersect it. Mm. The key to that, Alan, is that information is not really for our members, THI. We've already had that.
Yeah.
Mm. Let them get on with that.
Yeah.
and let us get on with teaching the world a better way.
Yeah.
That, all that information is not for us.
Because we've done the homework. We've done all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've woken up to that. I mean, it is a shock for a lot of people who are just new to it. But yeah, as you say, we've spent years involved in this and falling out with, or just, you know, friends and family moving aside because we're on a different frequency, whatever, they're in the matrix, we're not. And so we have done the work. And it's, yeah, as you say, onwards and upwards. We need to work on the People's Club. Well, listen, folks, we've reached that time. And thanks a lot for coming on. It's been a great show, great information. I hope that's answered a few questions for a lot of people who are tuning in from THI. I'll be speaking to THI Australia in the morning. Hopefully I'll jump on with them and we'll have a chat and we'll have a catch up. That's going to be good. To do that, a big thank you to Thomas, Kim and Liam for coming on. I'll just go around. Thomas, if you want to give out your, I mean, they probably know your show information, but you might as well give it out anyway. There could be new people.
I would sooner give thanks to Liam for what he's doing.
Brilliant work. Yeah.
And what you're doing, Alan, and also Mark and Lawrence, who chipped in with the business thing. That's more important to me. People want to find me, they'll find me.
Okay, we'll track you down. And I think they tried that before and they failed. I think it was the same with Kim, wasn't it? They tried to track you down and they were sorry for doing it. Kim, do you want to add a few words there?
You know, I just wanted to thank everybody that listened to the show today. 2020 will be as good as everyone wants it to be, because everyone will be participating. So the more people that participate in what Liam's doing, what THI groups are doing, Alan, what you're doing, the better 2020 will be for all. And, you know, stop waiting for other people. I mean, Thomas and I are doing the best we can. We wear many hats. It's not just all about money either on a daily basis. All while staying alive. And I joke that that's our theme song sometimes. But, you know, we've angered a lot of very unhappy people.
I've just got this horrible picture in my head of Thomas wearing a white suit and dancing to Stay in Alive. Sorry, Thomas.
That's okay.
Wait a minute, Thomas. At least that's not happening.
It'll be a bit worse if I didn't have a suit on now.
Oh yeah.
Oh dear God.
Brilliant. So for thanks, Kim, for adding.
I'm never going to be the same now, Alan. Thank
you. That's something I just don't want to see. Sorry, I just had this picture of. That's a graphic I might have to work on for a bit of fun.
That's a different show, Alan.
That is a completely different show, I tell you. Okay, Liam, thanks a lot for coming on, Liam. If there's anything you want to add or contacts or information or just jump in and whatever you want to say there.
Yeah, I'd just like to say thanks to Thomas and Kim. Maybe one day we'll find out just exactly what always been going on behind the scenes. I think it would surprise everyone. We've got this first draft of the Life Force Energy Restoration Plan ready, so we'll publish that tomorrow and put it out for everyone to get chatting, discussion, and let's move it forward and build on it and keep things going this year. And just thanks to yourself as well, Alan.
No problem at all. Well, you know, I'm hoping one day we will all be sitting down in the pub and we have a drink, wherever it is, and we'll all be sitting back and we'll go, holy shit, what a ride that was. You know? I mean, it, you know, just wow, we've done it.
Can't wait.
Can't wait. It has to be done. Okay, listen, folks, stay with me there for a minute, will you? I just want to make a couple of mentions and then I'll wind up the show and then we'll have a quick chat after. So just bear with me there. But a big thank you for Thomas and Kim and Liam for coming on. There's a lot of work. I'll just say to everybody listening, there's a lot of work going on, folks, in the background. Immense work is going on in the background. Loads of stuff, as Kim said and Thomas said, they can't say. But there's loads of things. There's a number of people involved in trying to push THI and the People's Club forward to try and make a big difference to humanity. And we just need you all to get involved and take the energy to be involved in it. So just bear with me there, folks. What I'm going to say is, just for next week, on next week's show, we have a couple of ladies I came across on YouTube called Candy and Laura, and they have a website called You Gurus, and it's going to be interesting having these two ladies on. I sent an email over to I sent an email over to the ladies, and I gave them a list of questions that I want them to actually focus on. So if we get them on, then obviously we'll go through them questions. And very quickly, just one more announcement for this. There's a great opportunity to see Dr. Jane Donegan in Wexford this month on the 19th, which is this week. Dr. Donegan's lectures are informative and empowering and are delivered in an engaging, witty and inspiring way. Her two lectures, Nursing Children Supportively Through Acute Illness and Vaccination, the Science, How to Read Scientific Papers, a hot subject, not just for parents, but also for therapists. Prepare to be amazed. For tickets on future further info, check out Eventbrite. Dr. Jane Donegan, D-O-N-E-G-A-N, Wednesday, Feb 19th, Wexford. Right, folks, thanks a lot for tuning in. Much appreciated. Take it easy, stay safe, and do what you can. Take the energy. 2020 is going to be a good year for all of us. For myself, Alan James, and Circle of White Light Radio, take care and bye-bye.
You have been listening to Circle of White Light Radio on CircleofWhiteLight.com, focusing on solutions and thinking different.